Good morning. Ray Chattery, I'm the deacon for the month of November, and this morning we'll be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 to 14, 18 to 20, and 24 to 25. You can follow on the screen behind me or page 931 in your pew Bible. In the days of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as a priest before God, and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably upon me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Sometimes people do not deserve what life brings them. Zechariah and Elizabeth did not deserve what life gave them. They were good people. Luke says they were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. They came from good families. They were both descendants of Aaron. Yet, they had no children. In that time, for a couple to be childless was seen to be a curse. Who would bring laughter into their home? Who would give them a greater purpose beyond themselves? Who would take care of them in their old age? Who would carry on the family lineage? A couple without children was seen to be a disgrace. Surely they had done something wrong to deserve such a fate. Yet, it wasn't their fault. Elizabeth's barrenness was not a punishment from God. Rather, it was a condition that God would use to grow their faith and to do a great thing. Now, in our day, it's difficult to understand why Elizabeth would have felt such disgrace. Today, we recognize value in a woman beyond her childbearing potential. Today, a woman can have a career. A woman can pursue her ambitions. A woman can have a full and meaningful life without children. Today, there is no stigma for a woman to be childless. But in biblical times, there was a stigma. In biblical times, a woman's primary purpose in life was to give birth and then to raise her children and to take care of her husband. If a woman did not have children, she was looked upon with disdain, even with disgrace. Well, such was the condition of Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah. They were good people, but they had no children. We can only imagine the anguish that Elizabeth felt and the anguish that Zachariah felt, thinking that somehow life had passed them by, that somehow God had passed them by. They were both getting on in years and seemingly without hope. Then, suddenly, unexpectedly, their lot changed. Zechariah was chosen by lot to offer incense in the temple. This was a great honor. Although Zechariah was a priest, he was one of many. In fact, we're told there were about 8,000 country priests in Palestine at the time. The 8,000 priests were organized into 24 divisions, and each division served in the temple for 1 week, twice a year. From each division, priests were chosen by lot and assigned to participate in the temple rituals for the day. And on this day, the lot fell to Zechariah, and he was chosen to offer incense in the temple. This was a great honor. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Many priests were never given the chance to serve in the temple or to offer incense. And after his time had passed, Zechariah would never be selected to offer incense in the temple again. Well, he must have been filled with emotion. What a story he would have to tell Elizabeth. Finally, after all those years of disappointment, something had gone right in his life. As worshipers were outside praying in the temple courtyard, Zechariah entered the temple and he stood in the holy place. Before him was the curtain of the temple which separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Now, Zechariah could not enter the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could enter on the Day of Atonement. But he could stand in the holy place. On one side was the table of showbread. On the other side was the golden candlestick. Before him was the golden altar of incense. It must have been a high and holy moment for Zechariah to be standing there in the holy place. After all those years of disappointment, something was finally going right in his life. But suddenly his exhilaration turned to terror. An angel of the Lord stood beside the altar. When Zechariah saw the angel, he was overwhelmed with fear. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John." Well, Zechariah was stunned. How could this be? He was an old man. His wife was getting on in years. The angel replied, "I am Gabriel, sent to bring you this good news. But since you did not believe my words, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." When Zechariah finally emerged from the temple, the people waiting outside had been wondering about his delay. Seeing that he was mute and could not speak, they surmised that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He gestured to them, but he could not say a word. When Zechariah returned home, the promise came true. His wife, Elizabeth, conceived. After all those years of waiting, she was with child. For 5 months, she remained in seclusion. Finally, Elizabeth proclaimed, "This is what the Lord has done for me. He looked favorably upon me and took away the disgrace I endured." Well, the angel had told Zechariah that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a son, and they were to name him John. The Hebrew name for John is Yohanan, which means God has been gracious or God has shown favor. Zechariah and Elizabeth's son John would grow up to be John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for Jesus. Well, shortly after Elizabeth emerged from her 5 months of seclusion, her cousin Mary came to visit her, and Mary was recently pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Pregnant Mary came to visit pregnant Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, The child in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So even before he was born, John was announcing the coming Messiah through his mother, Elizabeth. Well, what are we to make of this remarkable story? Well, for one thing, this is a story about patient faith. When life did not go the way that Zechariah and Elizabeth wanted, they never gave up their faith in God. They never stopped believing. Year after year, they remained childless. Year after year, they endured the disgrace of their people. Yet they never stopped praying, and they never gave up hope. People of lesser faith might have become disillusioned or angry or bitter. But Zechariah and Elizabeth remained faithful. People of lesser faith may have turned away from God, but instead, Zechariah and Elizabeth drew closer to God. Their years of disappointment and suffering only made them trust God more. And finally, their faith was fulfilled. Finally, God answered their prayers. Well, sometimes when life doesn't go our way, we might be tempted to question God or to doubt God or even to give up on God. Zechariah and Elizabeth are examples of patient faith. Difficult circumstances are not God's punishment. Difficult circumstances are God's opportunity to grow our faith and to do a great thing. Another thing that we can learn from this story is that God's timing and our timing are not always the same. Year after year, Zechariah and Elizabeth had longed for a child, and year after year, no child was given. But in the fullness of time, God's will was done. After greeting her cousin Mary, Elizabeth came to recognize that the child Elizabeth had been given after all those years of waiting could only have come at that time. Her son would have to be born exactly when he was born to fulfill his role in God's plan. If Elizabeth had given birth to a son many years before when she was younger, that son could not have grown up to be John the Baptist and prepared the way for Jesus. And so in her old age, Elizabeth would become the mother of the prophet who would prepare the way of the Lord. Sometimes life doesn't seem to unfold according to our timetable, and sometimes we wonder why it takes God so long. But God's timing and our timing are not always the same. Sometimes it's only in retrospect, only in looking back, that we can recognize how God's hand was at work in our lives. In Romans 8:28, Paul wrote, "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God." Now notice Paul did not say that all things are good. We know that some things in our lives are not good. Pain and suffering and illness and heartache, loneliness and loss are not good. But God works for good in all things. And God can use the hard times of life to draw us closer to himself. Lacey Duncan had dreamed of being a mother. That was perhaps her greatest ambition in life, to have a child. And yet she was in her mid-20s, still living at home, no prospect of marriage, no man in her life. And she began to wonder how that dream could ever be fulfilled. Well, Lacey's mother suggested that maybe she should apply to become a foster parent. And so she sought out a family services agency. She went through the application process. She went to classes. She got trained to be a foster parent. She passed a home certification. And finally, in June of 2011, she was certified to become a foster parent. But then nothing happened. No calls, no contacts, no inquiries. And she began to wonder if it would ever happen. she'd ever get a chance to become foster parent to a child. She thought that perhaps because she was a single woman, she would not be considered qualified and never be contacted. But then after several months had passed, late one night a social worker called in need of an emergency foster care placement. Four sisters, ages 5, 2-year-old twins, and 1, needed a home immediately. The social worker asked if Lacey could take in these 4 young girls. Well, Lacey wasn't really prepared to take in 4 children of that age all at once, but she said yes. And within a couple of hours, those 4 frightened young girls were running around her living room. They were scared, crying, upset, not sure what was going on. Lacey and her mother tried to calm the girls down. They eventually put them to bed. Lacey rocked the baby to sleep. And the next morning, Lacey called into work and said she wouldn't be able to make it that day. She had to take care of these kids that had come to her home that night before. And instead of going to work, she'd be taking the 5-year-old to kindergarten. Well, as she's preparing breakfast for the 5-year-old, the little girl asked her if she could be her daughter. It broke Lacey's heart. By the time they got to school, the little girl was introducing Lacey as her mom. Later that day, Lacey learned that the 4 little girls had a baby sister who'd been born the night before. The baby would be placed in a foster home with parents who were experienced dealing with newborns. And Lacey would take care of those 4 little girls, ages 5, 2, 2, and 1, for the next 9 months. Then the birth mother regained custody of the girls. Once again, Lacey's heart was broken. Lacey said, "I tried to keep the faith that they would end up where they were supposed to be. And in my heart of hearts, I believe that was with me." But she waited. In faith, she waited. About a month later, the girl's birth mother decided that she could no longer take care of all of them. And she called Lacey and asked if Lacey would take all 5. Lacey formally adopted all 5 sisters in July of 2013. The girls asked Lacey if she was sure they were staying. And she said, "You're adopted. You're home forever." Then there was one more surprise. The birth mother was expecting again. It was another girl born in September of 2013. And eventually that baby came to live with Lacey, and that baby was adopted too. Today, Lacey Duncan is 32 years old, and she is a single mother to 6 sisters, 10-3. Her prayers to become a mother were answered in a way she never could have imagined. Lacey said, "You don't set out to have 6 little girls, but I'm glad it happened. I feel so blessed." And here's a picture of Lacey and her 6 daughters today. God can use the circumstances of any life to grow our faith and to do a great thing. Just ask Zachariah and Elizabeth. Just ask Lacey Duncan. There's no telling what the Lord can do. Our Father, we thank you that difficult circumstances are not a sign of your punishment, but rather difficult circumstances are an opportunity for you to help us grow in our faith and for you to do a great thing. We know that sometimes our lives are filled with problems and troubles. Sometimes things don't go our way. Sometimes we get what we did not deserve. And yet you are at work in all things to bring good out of them. Help us, O God, to have a greater faith. Help us to be patient in our waiting. And help us to always pray and always trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing a closing hymn. And it may be there's someone here today who would accept God's promise of eternal life, of salvation through faith in Jesus, and follow him as a believer in baptism. Or maybe you've made that commitment to Christ, but you're not a part of our church family. You'd want to join with us. We invite you to make that decision public as well. Come to the front of the sanctuary as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 83, Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus.